Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is an interior paint and primer in one with a tough-lasting formula. It provides great scrub resistance and durability with remarkable hide and a smooth finish. Save big on Dutch Boy's DuraFighter paint at Menards and start your next project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at Menards.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchel with my colleague and friend Gordon Chang. Blistering rally has lifted Chinese stocks to their highest levels in nearly a decade. We welcome our colleague Fraser Howie, reporting to us from the gorgeous Highlands of Scotland, to comment on another blistering rally in China. Fraser is the co-author of Chinese Capitalism, Once Upon a Time, Red Capitalism, Its Rise and Fall. Right now, the rally in the market looks to be rising. Do we trust it, Fraser? Good day to you.
Hello, John. Hello, Gordon. Yes, we trust it in the sense you put your money in, the stocks go up, you sell them, you'll get your money back out. Okay. We know the operation, the mechanics of the Chinese stock market work very well, very efficiently. Volumes are very high. The danger is to basically extrapolate from a rising stock market to somehow a turnaround in the economy or some rosy economic future for China. The two are very distinct. And frankly, nothing attracts money like a rising stock market. So we have we are at about 10-year highs. But what that really tells you is that for the past decade, the stock market has been a dog.
Gordon, you have a question for Fraser.
Fraser, why is the Chinese stock market so detached from the Chinese economy?
That's always a good question. And of course, it's been a very misleading indicator for many decades now, partly because many of the companies who make up the Chinese economy have been restricted from listing in the stock market. You never had any of the joint venture manufacturing companies, for instance. You generally had, in the early days of the stock market, only state-owned enterprises, companies that needed money rather than deserve money. Now it's much more, you can certainly argue it's much more equitable, far more private companies, but it's still not a good representation of the whole overall economy. And so therefore you have this disjointed structure. And of course, one of the problems is that stock markets are largely driven by capital flows, simply how much money is sloshing about. And the trouble is that, you know, it's money and policy that are driving things. And that can, you know, drive stocks much faster than can actually make real change in the economy.
Fraser, the Chinese are in a bullish mood about their economy, according to the FT. I wonder what supports these paragraphs. This is the FT within these last hours. This is the salmon-covered, sometimes called pink-colored paper out of London. I read it regularly. Huawei's latest products are seen as among those that would satisfy DeepSeek's requirements. Combined capacity from these three new plants, once fully ramped up, could exceed the current total output of similar lines at Semiconductor Manufacturing International Corporation, SMIC, China's leading fab, according to those people with knowledge of the effort. I read that paragraph two times to myself, and I realized nothing exists. This is the bullishness Chinese style. Who's the audience for this? There doesn't happen to be anything they're talking about right now.
This sadly is reflective of much of Chinese or reporting about China over the decades. There's an incredible number of ifs and buts and caveats. And I think if there is a positive story in the Chinese economy, that you could argue that certain sectors and certain areas are doing better than perhaps it was thought, that the impact on some of the chip restrictions or the Biden or Trump sanctions or tariffs would have had a bigger impact. So in that sense, that China isn't doing as badly as thought is perhaps seen as a positive. But again, always these stories are focused in a very narrow area. And if you're just talking about even about AI, and even if you talk about the transformative effects of AI, you know, that's not going, that sort of relatively small percentage, even if it's only 5 or 10% of the economy, it's not going to make up for the 30%, which is the property market, which is basically in, not, it's falling, it's extremely weak, it's not coming back. nor is the geopolitical markets changing, geopolitical trade policies changing either. So even the things that are successful can't ultimately change the overall picture of the economy.
Gordon, you have a question for Fraser.
Fraser, from time to time, we see the Chinese government buying stocks, either directly or through state enterprises. Is that happening this time, or are what we're seeing is just organic? Is it being driven by outside money?
No, I think this time it seems to be a bit more organic. It seems to be some degree of retail funds certainly driving it. When you've seen the state buying, it's generally more in times of weakness. But even there, any indication or hope that the state is buying, of course, then drives the market slightly further or gives people confidence. So I think in this case, as I said to John earlier, a rising stock market always attracts money. So once you see, you know, maybe some companies doing better, certain sectors doing better, certainly DeepSeek gave a high degree of confidence to the private sector in China earlier in the year, and the feeling that, hey, we can succeed by ourselves. And so a number of these factors come together, a rally sort of starts, more money comes in, other markets seem less investable, and all of a sudden you've got a sort of a strong rally on your hands, and foreigners are pouring in money, people are starting to borrow money to trade again, money's been sitting on the sidelines looking for return, and all of a sudden stocks are now the hot topic.
The concentration on certain sectors, high-end sectors, that has continued to this point, but I read recently that they've moved away from just AI and just EV to other sectors. Is that because they flooded the market and the prices are down and there's no desire for their product? Is that why they're switching?
Partly. Again, as you know, when there is a lot of liquidity in China looking for a home, looking for a return somewhere. So you're going to go from, you know, certain sectors. You know, it's not that China is completely devoid from market principles or economic principles. Some things do get overbought and sectors get too hot and people are looking to take some money out there. They've made money in one sector, looking to invest in another sector and some sort of degree of catch up. But I say, whenever you're looking at a stock market rally in China, the danger, the thing to think about is, okay, we know it's going to stop. When is it going to stop? Because I don't see any reason this time around that this divorce from the real economic realities and the poor performance of individual companies is going to, you know, be different. You have China dominates the world EV market. It dominates the solar power market. And yet most of those companies do not make money. That is clearly unsustainable to support a stock market.
We have about a minute, Gordon. Go ahead.
So, Fraser, when you talk about money fueling stock market rises, do you think that's happening in the U.S. as well?
It's a good question. I don't know. The U.S. is obviously a very different sort of market at the moment. The dollar weakness is quite significant. You know, the stocks have obviously rebounded strongly. Dollar weakness is still attractive. And, of course, it's still very narrow in the States. It's the tech companies. This is the driver. But there's, as we know, stock markets, the nature of the financial economy now is there's always access to leverage. And so, therefore, when there is going to be a rally, people are going to try and squeeze as much out of it through borrowing.
Fraser Howe is the co-author of Red Capitalism, The Rise and Right Now, Torment of the Chinese Economy. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams,
of added caffeine.
So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.